All right, everybody, welcome to another week of the Fraughtcast. We are live from the Fraught Quarters in San Francisco. I think this is Fraughtcast 46. Thanks for tuning in. Go to fraughtcast@gmail.com to email us. We have the whole crew. This is your ear rapist, Ben. We do have film drunk blogger extraordinaire, Vince.
That's me.
We do have the most miserly, grumpiest man in podcasting, Brett.
I'm happy today.
And we have the largest, biggest human ever invented in podcasting, Brendan.
I'm so large I can't control myself. I'm hideous.
This week, we're going to discuss how Vince just made the whole geek girls, we couldn't think of a word, but he upset a very small, specific demographic of people.
I did.
We have Lindy. Oh, I apologize. We have Lindy West on the bloop.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Sorry, Lindy's here as well via the magic of the internet. Lindy's on. She's gonna. She saw Charlie Sheen live at his train wreck of a live show.
And last night, I did.
That's what Charlie did a lot. And she also saw the Beaver. Vince is so happy that's added to the soundboard.
The only reason I'm laughing, I probably people out there in Frightland don't think it's that funny, but I just see like the sheer satisfaction on Vince's face.
All I've ever wanted was a Disturbed button.
Yeah, and now he has it.
I have to concede that he does that thing that he does with the monkey sounds really well.
Yeah.
Please hold down for sickness.
Push down for the sickness.
Yes.
And then at the end, Vince had an interview with the Troll Hunter.
Troll Hunter director, Andre Øvredal.
Where was that from?
We just did a phoner.
Oh, you did a phoner.
And we did a phoner.
A phone.
That's
phone.
That's what we call it in the biz.
In the biz.
I bet Lindy's done a few phoners, huh?
Lindy, have you ever done a phoner?
Yeah.
I think she's doing one right now.
There you go.
I'm supposed to do a phoner tomorrow with Will Ferrell, and I really don't want to do it.
Really? Would you not want to do that?
I don't want to have any questions for Will Ferrell.
That doesn't seem like it'd be easy for him to do funny things over the phone.
Well, and he's promoting a movie, so I'm supposed to ask him about the movie as though I give a shit about movies.
I know.
Like, I don't care.
That is the hardest part of our job.
I know, pretending to care about our subject matter.
Yeah.
What's the easiest part? Your job's stupid.
The cat photoshops mostly. That is just icing.
The easiest part is turning to his left and seeing the jack-off couch and saying, I've made it.
Job complete. Back to bed.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go jack off on that couch right there.
That's the easiest part.
And when I'm done, I'm going to take a nap.
I love hurriedly Twittering and like seeing all these people respond to me and feeling like I'm so important. And then I get up and go look in the mirror and I realize I'm still wearing like the tank top I fell asleep in. There's a crust in my eyes. I'm completely unshaven. I'm wearing the basketball shorts with no underwear that I wear every single day.
There's half a piece of pizza stuck to your back.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ooh, breakfast.
Yeah.
Oh, didn't know that was there.
Somebody got a quarterly bonus.
Yeah.
Nice work, blogger.
Quarter pie bonus.
So, Vince, you riled up the geek girl nation. I think there was one catalyst, one spearhead at the tip of the anger train.
Yeah, well, we were basically...
Wow. That was so many metaphors.
You sounded like Dashiell Hammett or like
don't know
Damon Runyon.
Spearhead or at the tip of the anger train.
Or Sarah Palin when she just gets confused by her own language.
It's like the river of the soldiers running through the Bible and then they come
Main
through
Street.
The border like illegal aliens.
Onto Main Street.
Yeah, onto Main Street.
From Wall Street sometimes to Main Street.
Yeah, so we basically... It started from that clip of... should I play the clip? That kind of makes sense.
You could at least play at least 30 seconds of it. It was just how...
It was basically started with Jamie Alexander, and...
I don't even know who that is.
I didn't know who she
telling
was
you to telling you to come out of your mom's basement so she can shove her sword up your ass?
No, well, the first thing... Well,
you don't know her from the nerd conventions?
No, apparently not. So she was on Kimmel... And she was just doing the thing that the ladies like to do on Kimmel, where they talk about liking Star Wars, as if liking Star Wars is like this punk rock thing or something.
I don't think it's exclusive to Kimmel, as according to your clips.
And I wasn't trying to question their geek credentials because I could really give a shit whether they're geek or not. It's just that weird thing where the host has to feels like he has to ask the pretty girl to validate people by saying they like Star Wars, which proves absolutely nothing. Yeah. And I didn't think I was making a very controversial statement. But
so you're saying you like one of the best-selling films of all time.
Yeah.
Or the highest-grossing films of all time.
Here, I got the clip queued up.
I'm a huge comic book fan. I gotta say, Spider-Man and X-Men were my favorite.
Oh, really?
Thank you.
Those are things. Woo!
And I also love Star Wars, so I'm geek squared. And I'll have you know, I can actually do a spot on Chewbacca.
Disclaimer: the Chewbacca is not spot on.
No.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not saying she's not into Star Wars. It's just very telling when she's like, and I like X-Men and Spider-Man, and everybody in the crowd's like, oh yeah, I like Spider-Man.
But she
X-Men.
Said, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I know.
I do like Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm geek squared. So.
But honestly,
and then
like,
so then a bunch of people on Twitter. One of the ones was in the video tangentially because there was Adrian Curry at a Star Wars wedding. And I guess the person that spearheaded the whole film drunk
the anger train?
Is sexist.
She's the conductor of the anger train?
Yeah, her example was, oh, film drunk saying that pretty girls can't be geeks.
Next stop, indignance. Woo, woo!
All aboard!
Yeah, so that was basically it. And then she basically riled up the entire Twitter, didn't read what I said at all, and we're just like,
no,
this guy says pretty girls can't be nerds.
You've obviously never gotten really angry at a stupid topic,
or,
have you? Yeah.
Or read any of Film Drunk. I text him, yeah. I'm like, what, the rape jokes? He's like, God, I wish.
He's
like,
yeah.
Our last video that Oliver made was about men slapping women in movies. Like, no one said anything about that one.
Yeah, that one was really difficult to watch.
Which
I almost didn't post that one.
Really? I watched it like 12 times.
I had serious.
I was ready to laugh, and then I did not laugh.
I had serious reservations about that one, I'll
it
be honest.
The inside.
This one I had no reservations about
right.
whatsoever.
Well, I mean, I think that's really telling, right? Like, methinks she doth protest too much. Like, their whole fucking jig was up, right? It was like their whole thing is like, I'm on Twitter. I'm a geek girl. You should follow me. I'm going to, like, post pictures of myself in skimpy clothes.
Wait, that's a thing? People do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it, so it was like, that's, but I think that's telling enough. It's like,
awesome.
You tell like some really fucking offensive jokes and no one says anything because they don't have an axe to grind. And then like, you've totally kind of like, I don't know. I'm not, I don't want to say you're like some crusader, but it's like, you sort of like,
I thought I was busting a very obvious
yeah,
cliche.
Yeah, you busted an obvious cliche that these people have kind of created this like cottage industry around. And so then they just had to like get as shrill as possible. And then of course, if you cry sexism, then it's like, you know. You're not going to win that argument.
I love my response is like feminism. Is that this thing people still do?
That's still a thing?
How very quaint.
How dare you?
Hey, hold on. It is a thing that people still do.
How delightful.
Where?
I'm not going to sit here
Where?
For that.
Is it mostly in Portland?
What do you mean? Do you really want to have this conversation?
Well, also, to me, like the idea, the whole feminist thing, it sort of assumes an oppressor.
Yes.
Like, to start off with. So
yes.
It's sort of, I don't know, I don't like the idea of anything that starts out from a place of being wronged, because it sort of assumes being wrong.
Oppositional
forces are wrong. But what if people are being wronged? What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm not saying they're not being wronged.
I don't agree with these horrible women who are wrong about this thing, but you can't say that feminism has no value and doesn't exist.
I'm not saying it doesn't have a value. I'm just saying it gets applied to places. I'm saying there's things that are assholism that might get called sexism or might get called racism, which are... They might just be people being assholes. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, but that's not what you said just now, for the record.
Okay. You know, you're right.
You said feminism, is that really a thing?
No, that was Brett.
I'm inciting.
Women are completely equal to men, even now.
That was Brett, being humorous. But yeah,
I, by the way, do not agree with the women that think that you're being sexist. I do not think that you're being sexist.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know,
and I'm not mad.
I think Carolla has a good point when he's talking about how there's sometimes things happen where there's someone that's being a huge dick to you and you can't really figure out why. And if you are a woman and the guy's being a dick to you as a dude, or if you're a black dude, there's times when you think, oh, that guy's being racist or sexist. And I would probably think that too. Whereas, you know, it happens.
Well, sometimes he is.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, I mean, everyone just has to... I don't know.
Try I agree. I'm just saying, yeah, pick the battles, I guess.
My point was they were just trying to incite a shitstorm. And if it's like, hey, this person is questioning our geek credentials, people aren't really going to take notice on Twitter. But if they say like, hey, this guy's totally sexist, people are going to take notice. is kind of my point.
Yeah, and they're going to ignore, what I said in the first place.
Right. They've been watching too much cable news.
What's the win condition for them here? What?
There's no win or losing. People like to be upset by things. They don't like to enjoy things. They like to be upset and get all their other people that they relate to. They want to cause a storm. We're angry. This person's evil. Look what he's doing. That's a lot easier than trying to enjoy things and have fun.
Well, if I was the are they actual geeks or are they the same
the ones,
as the other women?
No,
well, if I was them, I would hate those women too.
Right, exactly.
I know, that's the thing. I thought I was on their side, and then they're like, "How dare you say that about us?" As if me saying that about, you know, Olivia Munn was me applying that to them. And
I didn't really understand it.
These women were the actual geek women were probably like tormented and they had horrible teenage years, I'm sure. And then some bitches that were cheerleaders or whatever are now like, because it's profitable, saying that they are really into Star Wars, like that matters.
Lindy, you get this. You understand it.
I'm on your side.
Oh, I'm just kidding. We don't. I feel like we riled you up a little
and
bit.
And when I wrote,
I just have to stick up for my ladies, but
fair.
Not those ladies. Yeah. Just ladies in general. I'm not going to be like, yeah, good thing we solved sexism. It's totally over now that Hillary Clinton exists or whatever.
Yeah, that's not a dude in a wig.
And like when I wrote the post, I was very careful to be like, I don't necessarily blame the actresses 100%. I think the guy asking the question is just as much as fault as are the people that clap when she says I like Star Wars, as if that means a fucking thing. Right.
So it turns out I like hamburgers. What?
Yeah.
She's just
us. You know how you can tell that they're not really geeky? Is that if you're a fucking geeky, you keep it a secret because it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like,
you don't shout your geekness and hold for applause.
Yeah.
No.
If you've made it that far,
as a teenager, I would read any book with a map of a magical land on the inside of the front cover. And did I fucking read that shit on the school bus? No, because it was embarrassing. It's a secret.
I bet you could probably do a better Chewbacca impression than that chick, and it wouldn't be like the first thing out of your mouth when you're being interviewed to jump up on the couch.
Also, you know what? You know what's a thing that I say with my friends? Kapla, which is weird.
I loved that part.
I know. We started saying it in college. But it was making fun of a dude that said it for real.
I enjoy it. That's one I enjoy. I don't know. There's something more endearing to me about Star Trek than there is about Star Wars. I think maybe because it seems more genuine in general, but.
Well, it's more terrible, and I mean, it's just way more hardcore.
No, but I think you're onto something, because it's easier for someone to be like, I'm a nerd, I like Star Wars, but like...
You can cover all of Star Wars in like a day.
Right, to be like a true Star Trek geek. That
would be a shitty day, by the way.
You got to put in time.
It would be about 3 hours of good and about, probably 9 hours of pretty shit.
Yeah.
On Star Wars?
Yes.
Yeah.
I liked Return of the Jedi when I was a kid. I probably would have liked the first one if it came out when I was a kid. And Empire Strikes Back still holds up. But as for watching them now, I don't think I would really want to watch any of them. But Empire Strikes Back.
The final three would probably make a decent single movie.
Ugh.
But three of them as like three.
How so? Like if you cut out all the crap?
Yeah. Like if you cut the whatever. 6 plus hours of movie into about 2 hours of movie, I bet it would be all right.
I feel like that would require some very serious going back to the drawing board on that one.
I still love the original trilogy. Thank you.
Let's not waste any more time on doing
I actually do, but
Vince,
yeah.
You have clapping sound on your soundboard?
I don't think I do.
How about we just use your
I have a crack chime.
Yes, I do.
About just use the ooh,
thank you.
As a clap.
Yeah, as a
by a show of ooh-ahs, how do you feel about Star Wars?
That's affirmative, sort of. You know, it's like, yeah, I agree.
So anyway, I don't need a grandstand. I thought I was making an obvious point, and I.
I'd like to say that I agreed with. I loved your response. I thought it was really good.
Thank you.
And well reasoned.
Speaking of things that I enjoyed, holy shit! The Beaver review made me really happy.
Yes, well done,
aww.
Lindy.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
Thanks. Just to describe it, I'll post it tomorrow for people, but she had a spoiler alert, and for people who didn't want to read the spoiler, she made up a story about centaurs and said if you string together the first letter of each sentence, it will give you the spoiler. And that was pretty much
that was kind of
you put it together, Vince?
I got a halfway through it, and I figured out where I was going. I was like, oh, no, I didn't want to know that.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Oh, I warned you.
I know. I knew it was my fault for looking, but
and I gave you something to enjoy instead, which was that story about the centaurs.
Well, that was the thing. I was like, I want to enjoy this story about centaurs, but in the meantime, I'm totally.
No, that's exactly what I did.
You caught me in your web of centaurs.
I'm so sorry.
Centaurs are such an enjoyable creature.
Yeah.
I wanted to do like a Mad Magazine fold-in thing. That was my original idea, but the art department was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
What, you want this in like a year? Maybe, sure.
Right.
Can I get this in an origami beaver?
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, what else?
Shit is hard to do, by the way, to take a bunch of letters and then make them into words that make a story. It took me an entire day. It was so hard.
I was going to say, it seemed like it might be because you can't have any throwaway words in there.
There's just never the letter that you need. It sort of devolves by the end. It just doesn't make any more. It's just like random words, kind of. But I was into it.
So, any thoughts on the beaver other than centaurs?
You know, I mean, it's pretty fucking stupid. Like, it's pretty much. I mean, it's fine. It's kind of unoriginal. Like, the dialogue is boring and kind of embarrassing and. Then, you know, he's sad, and the beaver's weird, and there's this storyline where he, like, revolutionizes children's toys by inventing
That's so old. How many toy designers are there in movies?
Yeah, right? And his toy that changes the future of playing, or whatever, is a children's woodworking set, as though children are going to fucking... And then it just sells in droves. People can't get enough of the beaver woodworking set. Like, that's a thing.
I was so disappointed because I heard the idea, and it sounded amazing. It's like, oh, Mel Gibson with a beaver, a talking beaver on his hand? That is going to be hilarious. And then I saw the trailer, and it was like a sappy recovery story, and I was so confused
by it. It seemed like they... just laid up because they're like, oh, it's going to be funny because it's Mel Gibson with a beaver on his hand.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't.
And those photos that came out were brilliant.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this will be funny. And I feel like I haven't seen it, but seemed like they sort of laid up with like, it'll just be funny no matter what we do because it's Mel Gibson with a beaver.
It could have been slightly worse. Like, it wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen.
A ringing endorsement.
Can you please somehow get that onto the movie
from
poster?
The Seattle Observers. Or. Strangers, Lindy West.
Yeah, the Strangers, Lindy West. In quotes, it could have been worse.
Slightly.
It literally could have been worse. Alternative press Pete Hammond.
Nah, it's not horrible. It's just like, you've seen it, it's real generic, and like the storylines about like the meaning of family, and one of the backstories is like the teenage son gets a girlfriend who's like, from the wrong side of the tracks. Or no, she's not. She's a cheerleader, but she has an artsy side. And what he learns is that she likes to, like...
She likes Star Wars?
No, she likes to paint trains. Like, she likes to, like, graffiti train cars with her amazing art.
Skanksy?
And, that's good. And so they, like, very carefully explain to you that graffiti is like art. It's just that the man doesn't understand.
Oh,
and then, but she gave it up because of her dead brother or something. And then
I love. Is this going to be ones that the critics love? Because I love the movies that are just like Sundance movie by numbers that are just as uncreative as Fast Five. But then, if you're an older, if you're an aging liberal film critic, you're like, oh my God, I love this movie about family.
It's so brave that he did the beaver thing. And it's not really. I don't know.
Is the beaver up for some sort of supporting actor award at least?
Does Mel Gibson do the beaver voice? Do you know?
I don't know.
I didn't look it up.
I didn't get to my screening, so I don't really know.
And
I
you're the one saw the movie.
Come on.
What? Oh, well, I can look it up. Hold on.
We'll just talk amongst ourselves.
I mean, Mel Gibson's kind of likable in it. It's fine.
Well, while you look that up, I actually am curious how the train wreck of Charlie Sheen's live show went.
Oh, so while I'm looking this up, I can also talk to you?
Yeah, how else are you supposed to multitask?
We don't hear thunderous keyboard strikes.
Because I'm using my phone.
Oh.
Just so that you guys don't make fun of me.
bang, 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 bang.
I think someone's knocking on the door, guys.
I'm picturing your keyboard sort of like, what's the phone? The jitterbug. Sort of like the jitterbug for keyboards, where you can hit it with your fist. You know, the jitterbug phone for old people, yeah. Where the numbers are as big as phone.
Is that a real thing? I thought we made that up.
What,
no, that's a real thing.
I thought we made that up.
No.
One of the commenters, referenced it to make fun of my mom.
Yeah, they play that between if you're watching daytime TV, and I really like Judge shows, so I watch a lot of daytime TV.
Wow, you picked the right line of work, my friend.
I love Judge shows. I cannot get enough of Judge shows. So
Judge Mathis is by far the best.
He's so mean.
That's what I like about him.
Here's Vince in high school with his high school counselor. Vince, what do you want to do? I don't know, man. I just really want to watch a lot of Judge shows. Have you thought about being some sort of writer? Done and done.
Where do I sign up?
Is there
up?
Money in it? Oh, my Lord, no.
Where do I sign up? You already have, son. You already have.
Wait, hold on. You get to watch Judge shows? That you do get to do.
Can I watch Judge shows and jerk off all day? Done and done. Be a writer.
You like working from Starbucks? Perfect.
So they play the jitterbug commercials in between the commercials for free catheters, or like you call the number and you
this get been on a lot.
Catheters.
My girlfriend, we were watching we saw one of those come on in the bar last night. She's like, man, I just get really depressed every time one of those free catheter commercials come on.
Vince, serious question: who's your favorite judge?
Oh man,
Dredd
or Judge Show?
Reinhold.
Grenades.
That's a big question. Wow. What's the tall? Oh, Alex. Judge Alex is kind of nice. He doesn't because he's kind of nice, and he sort of sits back, vaguely amused. Whereas everybody else tends to just immediately scream at everyone. What's the one from the People's Court? Milan.
Wapner.
No, I think your name's Judge Milan. She's so mean.
That's old school.
You're old.
Yeah, Judge Wapner.
What? So I don't
honestly though, I think I'm onto something. Judge Reinhold has not had work for a long time. How long until he has a daytime judge show?
He did a skit like that for SNL
did
or
he?
Something. Yeah.
Shit.
Late to the game. Mm. How do you get the job of being one of those judges? That is a job I can do. I have opinions on everyone, and they make me hated.
Those are real judges.
Oh, also, so many ads for mesothelioma.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So many mesothelioma
I almost
ads.
Had to sit on one of those cases, and they're like, it's going to be like 4 weeks, and you're basically going to be talking about drywall the whole time.
It's like, hey, pal, you on your couch? Is it because someone wronged you?
Yeah.
You know you could make a lot of money out of someone wronging you.
Are you into scams?
There's something so depressing about the daytime. I think your girlfriend's onto something where it's like the just when you see like Sequoia Institute and like DeVry, it's just like, ugh.
Those are not half as bad as the thing that implies that you need a free tube because you've lost the ability to urinate.
Why do you need it? How much do catheters cost? Are they made of gold?
I don't know. I'm guessing they're not a lot, but maybe when you can't pee.
They're probably delicate. They go in your pee
hole.
Are
they not reusable?
No, do you need
more than one?
No, I think the ad specifies that they're reusable catheters at some point.
Also, who's self-catheterizing?
Someone who literally can't afford a pot to piss in.
Oh, but Hey-o. Where does the tube go?
In your pee hole.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
The other end of the tube. It just goes in a bag and then you throw it away?
In the fish tank.
You don't donate it to people who need pee transfusions?
Need urine. Oh, wasn't there a Grey's Anatomy with a fecal transplant where they had to like put poop in her?
No, what?
Why?
No way.
Yes, I swear to God, look it up.
Shut up.
Look it up.
Why would they have to put poop in something?
I swear on my life.
We're going to need 50 cc's of feces, stat.
This person is dangerously low. This person is dangerously low on feces. Where is that shit? Get that shit in here right now, nurse.
Feces of feces.
They're just dumping it down like a beer bong into someone's butt.
Like Steve-O.
They have to like punch it down.
Steve-O is just the mad scientist of the...
We're putting the poop back in!
It's okay. In like a clear plastic
okay,
pitcher.
This is the Wikipedia entry. Fecal bacteriotherapy, also known as fecal transplant, is a medical treatment for patients with pseudomembranous colitis caused by ulcerative colitis, which involves restoration of colon homeostasis by reintroducing normal bacteria flora from stool obtained from a healthy donor.
How do I get a job?
I could do that.
Yeah. I could be a shit donor.
Did you ever you want to give a kidney? No, but I got some shit.
Seriously, like I have to take a dump. It's either going to go in the toilet or you can have it.
What was that movie called? You, Me, and Everyone We Know?
You, Me, and Everyone. Yeah, I want to poop the poop back into your butt.
Yeah, I want to poop the poop back into your butt.
Pooping back and forth. Yeah, pooping back and forth. I love how much Brendan loves poop.
You're a hero, my friend.
Brendan loves poop so much.
Oh, God.
He's dying right now.
There was a show only about poop.
I remember you could watch a show called Fecal Transplant.
I remember early on in our relationship. Very early on in our I remember very early on in our relationship, Brendan was telling me how he ate a bar of oatmeal soap because he heard it gave you really potent farts. And he came to this party after having eaten a bar of oatmeal soap.
So bar or like a bite?
It was an entire bar.
How is that going down?
It was awful.
It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it.
My farts are gonna be so smelly.
I put like shavings of it with a knife onto my Raisin Bran Crunch.
Oh yeah, can I get the oatmeal soap latte with extra farts?
I'm going to a party. I'm gonna save them up. So what happened?
I farted a lot. Yeah, I farted a lot. And
Is it awesome? Everything you dream.
I mean, everyone was like avoiding me.
I thought this would make me a hero.
I think that's how I pictured it in my head somehow.
This has gone horribly wrong.
I was going to impress everybody.
Why do you shun me?
I'm picturing you with like a cheese grater.
Am I not man?
If you prick me, do I not bleed?
Oh, God, with the cheese grater.
Yeah, just a cheese grater with the oatmeal soap over it.
Like on two tortillas, like it's a fucking quesadilla.
Yeah.
Oatmeal soap lattes. All right, latkes, sorry.
Oh, God.
So the only show in Brennan's DVR is Fecal Transplant.
This week on Fecal Transplant.
But it's like a shitty TLC show.
Do you think
show?
He's going to transfer the poop from one person's butt to the next? I don't know. Find out on Fecal Transplant.
God willing.
This is something that you might want to try. For years and years,
I'm
sweating
from laughing so hard.
Feces.
Wow.
And then every day, I had to cancel it because it's like half of it is about child abuse. Like it's like, then she made the baby eat the feces.
Oh.
And then... like it lived in its own feces.
The child
and
lived
then
its own
killed
feces.
Killed it with, you know, whatever.
With feces.
He eat the poo poo.
Yeah, she eat the poo poo. But
Bishop
a poop Luke for feces was a, some good times. I have to say.
I bet you can find some amazing stories in there.
Poop transplant. My whole life is like turned upside down. How did I go 29 years without finding out about a poop transplant?
If you're a healthy person and you get a poop transplant, does that like double your bacterial healthiness? Flora?
I hope so. There's only one way to find out.
You could be a pooping god.
Is there such a thing as a home poop transplant?
You can be like the lawnmower poop
an outpatient,
man.
An outpatient.
Yeah, hey, well, I mean, I just don't know. I don't have insurance. I don't know if I...
I've got the tools.
I don't know if they do it as like elective surgery.
This today, I equate today finding out about the poop transplant. This is like the day when I was in, I don't know, I think I was in seventh grade, and my friend Justin and I, we had gone camping. And they had these like crappy outhouses that were just like wood, like shacks with like a bench with a hole cut in it. And there was like
down to their outhouses.
They were outhouses. No water, nothing. And it was just like,
how did you poop in that, Brendan?
It was well. So we didn't. We went for 2 days. And his mom was a nurse, and she was yelling at us that we were going to get fecal impaction. And so we were like, you know, we're young. We're like, what's that? And she's like, it's when you don't poop for a long time and it gets stuck up there and you got to get surgery to get it out. And then we just laughed for like 4 hours.
Dude, it's and then, toxic megacolon.
Yeah, and then the next step is toxic megacolon once it gets infected.
That sounds like a sci-fi movie.
It was like, I mean, my life was never the same after that.
Megacolon and Piranathon.
That's something you can pander to. You go on Jimmy Kimmel and you're like, man, I fucking love toxic megacolon. And no one claps.
Thank you.
You're left alone and weird.
Thank you.
That's what it sounds like.
I tried talking about my love of poop, which is real. Then you guys would just accuse me of pandering, which is not true.
No.
Girl.
Poop is still a subgenre That is not pandering.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm allowed to talk about poop even though totally. I'm a girl?
Yeah.
You don't even know about poop. You just pretend to, so we'll like you.
Shut up. Do you guys want me to talk about Charlie Sheen?
Yes.
I don't have all night. I gotta go soon.
No, yeah, talk about Charlie Sheen. Did he?
Okay.
Hold on, guys. Are we done talking about poop? Because I wanna make sure we exhaust
can we
this
just
avenue.
Linger, can we linger here?
Right.
Let's be honest. There's gonna be about 8,000 poop transplant tagbacks, callbacks.
Oh man. Oh, totally. This is the new Nick Ring.
No one denies this.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, Lindy.
Hashtag.
For example, I would have enjoyed a poop transplant far more than I enjoyed. traveling 45 minutes to a nearby town. It wasn't in Seattle, by the way.
Wow.
What town was it?
Well, it's a city called Everett, a small city called Everett, north of Seattle, which is like a horrible. I texted.
Is that your San Jose?
Yes. I don't know. Yes, probably.
San Jose.
I don't know. But like I as soon as I got there, I texted my friend and I said, every business in Everett is either a bail bondsman or a Dairy Queen. And then he wrote back and he said, the most depressing thing I've ever seen was in Everett, a roughly 11-year-old girl practicing stripper moves on a pole holding up the canopy of a bail bond office.
Well, someone's gonna hold it up.
She might as well. Basically, I had to walk back to my car through the deserted fucking rape alleys of Everett.
She doesn't learn there. She's gonna learn somewhere else.
Well, she might as well be multitasking. She's getting paid to hold up the sign. And
I learned it from watching you, Mom. But yeah, the Everett. So I went to Everett.
No gun stores or anything.
No what?
No gun stores.
There's a porn store called Lover's Package that I drove by.
Nice.
And there's a Taco Bell. And there's a bunch of like empty storefronts, and then there's a strange arena where Charlie Sheen was happening.
What's the name of this said arena?
Well, it's called I think it used to be called the Everett Events Center, and now it's called the Comcast Arena. Comcast bought it, so it's a 10,000 seat arena. It was probably half full, maybe less than that.
Wow. So the opening. The reviews spread around that he didn't really plan anything for this tour.
No.
You sound angry.
The only reason that I went. Did you say sell me?
No, you sound angry.
Oh, well, first of all, I had to go by myself because they don't
snide things to you.
What?
There's no one to whisper snide things to, and that's kind of the whole point.
I know.
Yeah.
So they weren't doing any press tickets for this tour because Charlie Sheen, quote unquote, hates the press. Apparently he thinks that they're all against him
he's gonna kill
they're
him
not
within the media info.
No, he's suing the press for a kajillion trillion dollars.
Like they're not completely responsible for any like fake success that he has right now. But so
Sheen
there were no
press
tickets. And by the way, they sold tickets for $500 for like a backstage meet and greet.
Oh Jesus!
Do you get to do coke with him and stuff?
No. Well, I don't know. I just know that afterwards, I left early. I think. I mean, I left after an hour and a half because I was like, okay, I go home.
An hour and a half of Sheen?
Jesus Christ! I saw Chappelle for an hour and a half, and that was long. I can't even imagine fucking
an hour and a half. Of Sheen, and I had already been there for a half hour before it started because it started a half hour late.
What does he do? Does he just smoke a carton of cigarettes and ramble?
He smokes a carton of cigarettes and he walks back. He paces back and forth on the stage and he rambles and he says nothing. Like he's like basically, it's not even interesting because it's just he's the fucking world's most boring man. And it's like, can I pay $50 to listen to a drug addict blowhard yell at me about why he lost his job and he's mad at his boss? Fucking
Charlie
awesome.
Sheen has a boss?
Wait, so there's no real...
He did like an hour about Two and a Half Men and how mad he was about being fired and how they're going to come crawling back and how like, oh, they think they're going to continue the series without me, but could you make I Love Lucy without Lucy? Could you make Cosby without Cosby? Like, okay, Charlie.
Yeah, they just have to call it something else.
Well, I mean, they call it One and a Half Men or whatever. And he was talking about how he was like, he rescued, he's like a freedom fighter, you guys. He's amazing.
Obviously.
Duh.
He rescued John Cryer from the gutter from having to do Pretty in Pink 11 or something.
And he rescued that. So was there anyone even there to rile him up, or was it just like Charlie Sheen stomping around with a microphone?
The people that were there were, well, they were wasted. I mean, I think. I can only assume. I don't know. Like, the people were so excited. And
really?
They, at least the people down on the floor, like, I was up in the stands because my company was like, no, we will buy you the cheapest possible ticket, which is fine. Oh, yeah, and also the first thing that Charlie Sheen did was he noticed that there were some empty seats in the, like, expensive section and then told people from the poor section to come down and fill in those seats. So then when the people who bought those seats showed up, there was, like, a brawl.
That would be the best part.
That's actually awesome.
Yeah, it was actually awesome. And so it's Charlie Sheen walking back and forth, literally saying nothing. Like, I have 10 million pages of quotes.
I want to hear some quotes.
First of all, the show opened with a montage of movie clips, and you're like, oh, it's going to be a montage of clips of Charlie Sheen movies. And then it was Jaws. Apocalypse Now, Animal House, Taxi Driver, Die Hard. It was like all these completely, they're just movies that Charlie Sheen likes.
It's very weird that he totally somehow thinks that he was in Apocalypse Now,
yeah,
or that his dad is the character in Apocalypse Now.
But he thinks his dad's more the Marlon Brando character than anyone.
Yeah, it's very weird.
He thinks, but it was just bizarre. Like, it wasn't even like, It was just a clips of movies that he likes.
So what are some of the Charlie Sheen ramble quotes?
Okay, let's see. Let me go through my notes.
I'm just trying to get it. So he just basically doesn't prepare much. He's just walking back and forth saying these quotes that you're about to read with seems like very little preparation.
Yeah, and then exactly, with zero preparation. And then meanwhile, there's a roving cameraman who films the crowd. And then they're projected up on this giant, like, jumbo screen behind him. And there were two girls that kept getting filmed. And they were wearing a homemade T-shirt that said Charlie's Angels. And then when the cameraman would film them and they would show up on the screen, they would start, like, furiously making out. And then later they showed their tits, like, 8 times. But it was so, like, the cameraman kept returning to them. And every time that would happen, they would see themselves on the screen and then start making out as fast as they could over, and it happened like literally, it happened like 12 times to the point where I was like, okay.
They
girls.
literally could not have made out more.
They could not have, and they clearly didn't want to, but they felt obligated.
Well, after that first time, you're committed.
I like how the Charlie Sheen shit was old that afternoon, and he's still trying to play off it. And I was in, we were in Vegas, 2 weeks ago? And we'd still see guys still wearing their
Dragon?
Charlie Sheen winning shirts with their like chin strap and faux hawk.
Dragon?
And
Dragon doesn't wear a shirt.
It's like, I don't know. I guess if you don't get the internet, that might still be a thing where you're like, oh,
right.
Dude,
no,
winning.
This was people that were not tired of the meme. It was people screaming Charlie Sheen quotes at the stage for it so that he would then say them back to them.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
It sounds like from the first,
I'd be there in a heartbeat. watch the Lolcats monster.
They're in your gutters.
The other greatest thing that happened was there was like a guy. There was a guy who I guess maybe like has custody of his 85-year-old senile mother, but he loves Charlie Sheen and he didn't know what to do with his mom, so he brought her and they were in the front row, and so Charlie Sheen kept like talking to her and she just sat, she couldn't, like, she had no idea what was going on. You could tell because she would go on the screen and she was just sitting there looking bewildered and he would scream in her face and she just sat there with no expression looking confused. And then later the guy was like,
I'm taking an F-18 up your catheter.
Right. And then
did he put like cigarettes in her mouth or anything?
I'm gonna employ my poop transplant to the ground.
He was wearing a Mariners jersey, like to pander at the beginning of the show. And then he's when he noticed the old lady, he to try to like curry favor with the crowd, he took off the jersey and wrote "Happy Birthday" on it, and then gave it to her. And then he, I wrote "Happy Birthday" on it, so that means that you have to have at least one more.
Okay. Oh my God.
Just basically like being wow. like, listen, you're gonna die really soon. Look how old you are.
Oh, wow. Dear God, you are old.
She clearly had, like, she just took it and then looked confused. And then later her son, when there was a Q&A portion, her son was like, yeah, mom doesn't hear very well, but she really likes you. Like, no, she doesn't, you fucking liar.
Winning.
All right, I need to hear a few quotes.
Okay. So the first thing that he said, he was like, yeah, Jesus, fuck yeah. And then he goes, right from the beginning, he said Jesus and fuck in the same sentence. Well, that's how we roll. Okay, Charlie.
So edgy.
Yeah. He talked about if he was the president, it would be called the Warlock States of Sheen. And then he said, the problem is I'd fix everything so fucking fast, I'd have to resign after one term. And then he was like, I mean, what, 1 year? It's like one term would be normal. And he would fix everything. Oh, and then he goes, okay, it's time to talk about the rules. So he gave us the rules.
The rules of the show?
Of the show. And specifically, it was the rules for the media. And he was like, where's the media?
So did you raise your hand?
Yeah, I did not raise my hand because I was busy writing this down.
Lindy West from The Stranger here.
He was like, where's the media? Show yourselves, I dare you. Stand up. And I was like, wow. No. And then he goes, here's the rules for the media. Pay fucking attention. How about that? How about report what happens tonight instead of some opinion about what you think should happen tonight? I mean, if anyone gave a fuck about the media, would anyone be here right now? Not really. We'd all be ruled by judgment and stupidity. It's like, okay, Charlie.
Snap.
I know, right?
He does not care who he offends.
I know. Seriously. As though the media has all been reporting. He said that we've all been saying that things that didn't happen happened and that things that happened didn't happen.
But isn't that what the media does on a regular basis?
That's like our whole job, man.
Hello, Mr. Right. Sheen. Lindy West from The Stranger here, up in the balcony.
I'm trying to report things that didn't happen that happened, and what happened didn't happen. Can you elaborate?
Then he talked about how people called him from Alabama, from Tuscaloosa, and they said, Charlie, we need you. You've got to get down here. Because they wanted to talk to him about how their house fell down because of a tornado.
Everyone in town that smokes crystal meth is dead. We need you.
We need you. There's a
how do you do it? How do you do so many drugs in
there's
the
a surfeit of crystal meth.
It's it's piling up everywhere.
That would be a good show.
There's no room for emergency supplies.
I would watch that. I would hope it would come on after poop transplant.
Like strange brew. Like Strange Brew, but for a meth lab.
Right.
Then he talked about
that's Brendan's favorite 2 hours of TV every week.
What do we call it? Charlie takes Tuscaloosa.
No, because he goes to different cities and saves them from their drug habit and teaches them how to do so
from their
drugs.
Abundance of crystal meth.
Then he told a bunch of stories about him trying to get out of having to go to work and Chuck Lorre being like, "No, you have to go to work." And then that's all evidence of Chuck Lorre being an asshole. Like, it was like...
Yeah, sounds like a dick to me.
Yeah, right? Like, he was one of the stories was literally just he wanted to go home, and it was only a rehearsal, and he was like, I'm going to go home. And then Chuck was like, Charlie, if you're going to keep being like this, we're going to have a problem, because you need to be here for rehearsal. And he's like, that guy's a fucking sociopath. Fuck that guy.
It's just like when my dad was killing that cow.
Totally.
I don't know how close you were, but does he still look sort of shitty and tired?
Oh, he looks near death. Oh, he did have one of the goddesses come out. And
I think there's
only
one now.
There's only one left now.
He's down to one. Did she dill herself on stage?
No, she did not. She really looked like she didn't want to be there. She came out with like a tote bag full of hats that said tiger blood or something on them. And she threw them at the audience. And then she was like, and then she got on the microphone. She said,
just want to say that I love Charlie, and I'm so glad to be here. Woo! And then she left.
Speaking of the goddesses, I think you guys would get a kick out of this press release that I discovered today. This is my new favorite press release. Well, it's called Sabrina Deep Kicks Off World Bukkake Tour.
Booyah.
Gangbang star Sabrina Deep is set to embark on her 2011 World Bukkake Tour.
Oh, is it coming through San Francisco?
The tour marks the fourth year of the event and kicks off in Dueren, Germany on May 30th.
Of course it does.
I've been waiting for this moment with great anticipation. Traveling the world and getting intimate with my fans is an everlasting orgasm. And I believe that this year will be the best tour to date, Deep said. Nearly two dozen cities around the globe will play host to the tour in the coming months, including London, Barcelona, Paris, Berlin, Vancouver, Los Angeles, New York, and others. Deep will be joined by fellow star Gina Blonde, who is already slated to appear at the Dueren event and plans to make regular appearances on the tour. Deep said if it all goes as planned, some other big-name stars will also be joining the tour for some special events. And here's where it involves the goddesses. The star has also issued a friendly rematch challenge to adult film star Brie Olsen and to, quote, the lady of the lake of porn, Ava Devine. I have no idea what that means.
She's got a magic sword.
Deep explained that the last November, the three adult stars appeared on the Howard Stern Show to compete for the title of World's Biggest Whore, where Olsen was named the winner.
She displays that trophy.
Things are looking up.
Brie and Ava are amazing performers and beautiful women. We had a lot of fun in Howard's studio together, and since we were there to talk about how hot we are to our fans, I want to invite both Brie and Ava to come to a World Bukkake Tour stop and get a piece of the action sharing the fans with me, Deep said. Yeah.
It's really a bummer that Dane Cook stole Tourgasm about a couple years too early.
Well, so true.
Lindy, you have to go, I believe. Is that correct?
I'm just waiting for a text message which will signal that I have to go.
Oh.
So it hasn't come yet. I mean,
he hasn't come yet. Waiting.
Hey-o.
Well, I gotta get Brett back in the loop because he's been texting this whole time. So
I just want to say that at the end he did a Q&A and like every interesting question he just dodged. Which is irritating because it's the whole point of his tour.
So what were people asking him that he did not answer?
People asked him, how much does a briefcase full of cocaine cost?
Interesting.
Fair question.
His answer was like, that particular guy never showed up with the briefcase. But if it had, it would have cost me ending up in South America partying. Or like, come on, dude. If this is what you're banking on... Answer people's questions.
Well, his whole shtick seems to rely heavily on everyone in the audience identifying with him somehow.
Right.
It's too bad that it doesn't seem like he's that. Either he is doing too many drugs, or he's not that funny on his own.
He's not funny. He's completely uninteresting.
I think part of the problem is he's so self absorbed that he just thinks anything he says is inherently funny, and he was just relying on. Hey, if I say winning like 50 times, people are going to fucking love that shit. Yeah, Tiger Blood, what?
Right,
Warlock.
Which they do, I guess.
And it's like, come on, people, don't you know when you're making like $2 million an episode and some fag is like, hey, show up to work. And you're like, whatever, pussy.
Right. Suck on my dick.
And someone else asked, what's the most you've ever paid for a hooker? And he said $250,000.
Whoa.
But then he said, yeah... It was that bitch at the Plaza in New York. And he's like, I spent $30,000 on wine at dinner. Okay, so he spent $30,000 on wine at dinner. Because if you got it, you might as well spend it, am I right? And then that bitch stole his $170,000 watch. Oof. And which he's counting, okay. And then that bitch got $50,000 for going on Good Morning America and talking about it, which didn't come from him. I don't think that should apply to the 250.
No, certainly not.
That was his answer. And he's like, and you know what's the best part? Here's the best part. I didn't even fuck her.
Wait, okay. So she went on Good Morning America to talk about stealing his watch?
I guess. I don't know.
Didn't she go on and talk about like how he like had like a cocaine freak out and she hid in the closet or something?
Yeah.
Is that what she talked about?
Yeah.
That cost him a couple bucks too because he didn't get to finish all the coke.
Well, if you count court fees.
Right. I'm sure he
wasn't she a prostitute and didn't he have to pay for sex at some point? I mean, I realize he didn't do it.
No, he said he spent 30 on sex and then.
No, he spent 30 on wine. And
oh, right.
He actually didn't have sex.
According to him, he didn't spend any on sex. Basically, like every juicy question he dodged, like no answer to that. You know, that's not a real answer.
Yeah, I just don't think he's that funny. And so when he just goes back to these lines of like, Warlock winning, Tiger Blood. Yeah. F-18 up your butt.
Hashtag.
He did say one thing that was like, I mean, when I talk about having tiger blood and smoking 7-gram rocks, and then everyone's in the audience is like, woo! And then he goes, those are metaphors.
Crack cocaine addiction, yeah!
When I say that, that's a metaphor for a 4-gram rock.
Right, totally.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was horrible. And then, on my way out, as I was leaving, there was a guy outside who was bitching to his friend, that was the worst $500 I ever spent.
Oh, God.
Well, if you spend $500 to do that, I could have told him that was the worst $500 you ever spent.
I was reading another review of one of the earlier shows where apparently some guy in the back just shouted out in the middle of a dead spot, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. And then like Charlie Sheen started talking again, and then it got quiet, and he's like, this is worse than Chernobyl.
I think
was so boring. Like I was sitting in the middle of this big party of skanks. Who clearly went because they thought it would be hilarious.
It's a murder of skanks, please.
Yeah, murder of skanks. And at one point, one of the skanks poked me, and she was like, "Are you a journalist?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she
can
was
you
like,
teach
"Are
me
you
how to write
a good thing or a bad thing?" And I was like, "Well, probably a bad thing." And she was like, "It's really boring, huh?" And I was like, "Yes, skank, you are correct."
Do you like Star Wars?
Right. I'm glad we had this connection. I feel kind of good now.
Is it me? Is it just me, or is it kind of boring?
Do you have good fecal flora? I need a poop transplant.
Brendan, how excited are you?
I think I could do that for you, skank.
How excited are you just to tell other people outside of this room?
I can't wait. I think I already put it on Twitter while we're sitting here.
Well, Lindy, thank you so much for telling us about Charlie Sheen. I have to bring back Brett back to the conversation because he's like, I don't know what the hell he's doing
does
over
Brett
here.
Brett hate me?
You think
Brett
he does.
Brett has to go away when I talk?
He's a dick.
I was just drawing.
Yeah. I hated Brett. I didn't know that I hated Brett.
But fake Brett loves you.
Yeah. He had his erection called him away.
You're my favorite.
Because of my horrible shrill voice.
He knows in the biblical sense.
Is he mad because I got mad about feminism?
Yeah.
No, he's just...
He's the most anti-feminist we've ever met.
He hates us, too. He hates everyone. Yeah. He's very misanthropic.
Yeah, he is.
There's a subtext here that I don't know what's going on, but I will go Lindy, home.
Is it homoerotic? Please say it's homoerotic.
Lindy, there's something that Brett doesn't want to say, but he's really waiting for a text for this poop transplant that he desperately needs.
He's holding it in.
He's trying to find a match.
He needs a match. And
he's on the list.
Yeah, he's down to 48 hours left. Yeah. If he doesn't get it, he's in big trouble.
God damn it, this is corn poop. We can't use this. You got to find a match.
What is this? This is Mexican burrito poop. I can't use this. This is terrible.
Okay, you guys. Well, thanks for having me.
Well,
I'm going to go on a date now.
Ooh.
Sweet.
I know, right?
Well, Lindy, Godspeed in making loud sex tonight.
Yep.
No, I don't want to get kicked out of my building, you guys. Don't encourage me.
Make it an away game then.
Ben had to slap the mics out of the rest of our mouths so he could get the loud sex joke out before the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly.
I never have any idea who's talking, right? I don't know who any of you are.
Neither do I, Lindy.
Still,
neither
it's
do
been
I.
Years.
We're just interchangeable douchebags anyway.
I know. I love you guys. All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, sure. Lindy.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Tell Brett to suck my dick. Bye.
Bye.
Wait, I need to get
hearing
back.
Hearing a girl say, suck my dick is always funny.
It is always good. Wait, so I don't think we really delved into this Bukkake tour enough. So she's going on a world tour so her quote-unquote fans can masturbate and have an orgasm on her face.
That's the Wait, thing. Do they just it's let like, any random douchebag just roll in and squirt?
They don't. That's the thing. They don't. They describe this. I mean, they make this whole press release about this World Bukkake Tour as if we know what the
right.
As if we know oh, the yeah. stakes.
I went in 07. Wasn't
yeah,
that
is
exciting?
There like audience participation? I'm not really sure because I definitely don't trust 14 other dudes to not jizz on me,
dude. Do you think you get a T-shirt?
Somebody get that drop.
Well, first of all, I think that is the like I never ever want to see that in any sort of porn footage. That's not like
no,
that's never like the yeah he's coming. That makes yeah, that's yeah. awesome.
Well, we had that discussion on the wine bus the last week where was how many other men's erect how many other erect men's penises have you seen besides your own?
A lot, unfortunately,
Millions.
But
no, in real life though, not oh. like on the screen.
Yeah, well, yeah, because on the computer screen, I would say countless,
infinite cocks.
But I just don't really. So I need more explanation.
They don't give it. It's they just make it this.
Is there a website or something that I can go?
They
to?
Put it in vague press release.
Yeah, Google Bukkake. See what comes up.
Go to images.
I love that it's all in completely in press release language that doesn't tell you anything about the
actual
Bukkake.
You know who we need on to talk about this is Joe King.
Oh, man.
Joe King would have a lot of insight. Now I'm curious if
he's ever... Menudo Pussy and...
Ninja Pussy?
Yeah.
And now I'm curious if he ever shot any Bukkake scenes, which I think would be one of the worst to film.
No, he only shot one dude... at a time.
Single dude.
It seems like
right
it'd be a pain in the ass to set up logistically, you know?
Oh, the lighting?
Yeah, the lighting.
Well, no, just, I mean, you've got like 1,000 dudes. You got to get them all timed right. It seems like just a pain in the ass for whoever's producing that shit, you know?
I don't know if it was like Carol or someone else talked about, but, you know, there's probably a line of dudes just, you know, jerking it in line.
Yeah, they're just doing the half jerk. Just
yeah,
to keep
and
it,
like,
just
but
keep
it's
it
like,
chubbed.
Hey, man, you a fan too? Yeah, I'm pretty yeah. excited about this.
Where are you from?
Like,
I'm from Houston.
Wait, yes, unzip. Yes, unzip the leather
is
mask.
That the? Is
oh,
that,
I'm from Houston.
Oh, yeah. No, I drove in. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Well, is that the creepiest, weirdest line in humankind?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, top.
Which one?
Yeah, it's top three creepiest lines.
The jerking
lines.
Off waiting to come on some random chick's face line?
Yeah. Oh, is that a line or is that just a situation? Seems more like a premise.
Well, are they all in a circle just waiting their turn?
I mean, they've
got to wait in line.
Look, there's got to be an order to it. You can't just have fucking jerk off chaos.
Yeah, no. No
one wants that. That would end horribly.
What the hell were you doing this whole time, by the way?
Playing video games on my iPhone.
Why were you doing that?
I don't know. You ever play video games?
No, I'm trying to have a conversation.
He's bored by your Bukkake tour talk.
All right, fine.
Brett went to the last four Bukkake tours, and he realized they're all identical.
Played out. That scene was great in 04.
Yeah. It's like Lollapalooza, man.
Oh, what, Jane's Addiction's on?
Whatever, man. Jane's Addiction.
So is this because the girl didn't win Biggest Whore on Earth? Is that?
Yeah.
So now she's
very,
like, yeah?
She's pissed. She's going to take it back.
Yeah? Watch how much cum I can get on my face.
Don't they have to try you in UN court for that? Biggest Whore on Earth?
Because,
you got to pass
a resolution.
Yeah, you got to go in front of the Hague.
Nuremberg.
Well, there's definitely a tribunal involved. Yeah. But so does she wear goggles? Like now I'm so intrigued.
I don't know. She's very odd looking, though. I'll say that about her.
I would think she would want to slap on some goggles. For safety.
Yeah, that's a lot of bleachy.
That is not a good idea.
Bleachy protein in your eyballs.
Oh, man. Now I'm intrigued. Intern, look this
up.
Where's our intern?
What if you're like the 15th guy and it's just this jizz snow woman in front of you?
Wait, so is there like
how this is
Seaman Angel?
Don't they all do it simultaneously?
No, logistically,
come
that'd...
on.
How would that?
Come
that's what I'm
on,
that's what I'm. Ben,
that'd be
stop.
Like
Ben.
That'd be like a
Ben,
Rube Goldberg machine.
Ben, sidebar, stop.
Come on, Brett.
Just stop.
So easy though.
I'm not saying they like time it up, but they're all like standing there, like.
I don't think it's a simultaneous thing. I think it's just more of a jizz party.
Well, no, I'm just saying they're all like standing there, chaos. Like in formation, you know, and like so
like
you're
surrounded, like flying bee, like the Mighty Ducks.
Something
everyone
like that.
Approach, quack.
Emilio.
Quack.
I'm not very quack. Versed on my bukkake, so I'm.
Yeah, neither am I.
That's excuse me.
I'm so confused. So is it like they just all approach simultaneously?
like yeah. A phalanx. No, like a Roman soldier.
I like the picture. Yeah. The shields. I like the picture. Her wearing one of those bucket head. Hats that has the corks on strings that keep the flies away. All around the room.
Like the Australian hats.
Yeah, the Australian hats that keep
you,
the
what?
Those bucket head hats they have, and then all around the rim of the hat they have the little strings with a tiny cork on the end that keep the flies away. You never saw those?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's an Outback hat.
Oh man.
Well, how does it keep the flies away?
Because it's just the corks swing in front of your face.
The
seriously.
Corks distract the flies from your face.
Is that really?
Yeah. There's corks all around this.
I'm learning so much tonight.
Well, you're learning that you're going to need a poop transplant soon. Otherwise, you're in trouble.
Poop transplant?
This cork sucker, come on my fargin face.
Any of you that know Brendan, all you need to do is say poop transplant, and he will go into a fetal position
right
laughing.
Now. He's having a hard time breathing. He loves it so much.
Nurse!
I think it was,
get in here!
I think it was Grey's Anatomy that had the...
I love that it was a Grey's Anatomy.
It was Grey's Anatomy that had the poop transplant, and then I don't know if you saw the...
Clear!
More like Brown's Anatomy.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, so Grey's Anatomy had the poop transplant, and then I think it was One Tree Hill, where there's a guy...
One Tree Hill?
No. Did you see the one where there's a guy walking...
No, I didn't see any of them.
You haven't even let me describe it yet.
Well, the answer's no.
The answer's already
we know.
No.
We know
guy's,
already.
The guy's walking in with an ice chest, and there's a guy sitting there who's like waiting for his heart transplant, and this guy walks in and slips on something and drops the ice chest, and like a literal human heart shoots across the floor, and then this golden retriever runs in from the outside and picks up the heart in his mouth, and the guy who's sitting there waiting for the heart transplant, it just is like a close up on his face as he's sad as the golden retriever runs away with his donor heart.
I actually saw that.
There you fucking go.
I didn't.
Went for real?
Yeah, it was on the soup.
Oh, that's so stupid.
I think that's the bodies on the floor or something.
Yeah.
I love you, soundboard. You're my only friend.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, I saw Chappelle in San Francisco.
Speaking of which, of what? Soundboard?
He said, you my only friend. Abba Zabba, you my only friend.
Gotcha.
Fair.
I saw him on Market Street, and I can co-sign with Vince that he got swole.
He's got his buff on.
Yeah.
Did you want to read?
You never want to co-sign with Vince. You're going to be paying that off forever.
Before we get into
come on, Dad.
Yeah, we did.
I don't want to go to learning school.
thank you, everyone, for sending emails. But we did get one actually today that we enjoyed. So this one reads: Dear Fraudcasters, today after finishing up a final exam, I felt myself confronted with the need to take a shit. Upon entering the bathroom, I found that there was only one stall I could use, as the other non-handicapped toilet had a gargantuan turd sitting in it. As an aside, I have no idea how any human squeezed that thing out. It looked like it had a pulse.
Wait, can I bring a brief aside to this?
Go, pussy.
Our friend in Vegas pooped a log. And for some
making
reason,
poop logs.
Yeah, for some reason, make him saying, "Yeah, I don't know why that was."
We
the
started.
Thing.
We started singing that. I don't know why.
But so for the rest
make
of the
him poop logs. It was
the size of a loaf of bread, and so we were doing that all weekend, and it was.
See, look at that automatic joke from Brendan. Automatic laugh from Brendan. I want a stand-up show full of like 100 Brendans, and I just come out like, dude. Have you guys heard about fecal transplant? And it's huge. I have to pause for like 10 minutes. And then I go, making poop logs. No. And I just like dance around farting. And it's just nothing but laughter.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Get him out.
Check the chocolate.
Thank you very much.
That shit would look like the Apollo.
He's just like pumping. Oh, my God. Oh, hell yeah. No, he didn't. Fecal transplant. Hell yeah.
People up in the aisles. Like. Yeah.
Just dancing. Just dugging in the fucking aisle.
I love this dude.
Yeah.
Poopy Vince. I love Poopy Vince.
Brendan just gets up and starts seawalking as soon as I mentioned fecal transplant.
Thank you. Good night. Don't forget to wipe your butts.
Sorry, Brett. Where were you going with that?
Make a poop logs. You got it.
Oh, that's it.
I was waiting for someone to sing it.
Nah, 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 nah. Nah.
You did good.
Oh, I thought there was more to the story because I couldn't remember.
For those of you out there, if you poop a big solid log, it's poop perfect for a poop transplant. So you might want to hold on to that one. Freeze it. Slap it in a cooler and bring it to the hospital.
My whole worldview has just changed drastically in the last 45
minutes. Are you going to start dropping fecal matter off at a hospital? Like, hey, look at this one.
This is a gift from me to you.
Just shitting outside of emergency rooms.
You guys want this one? It's good. It's a
good
solid
one.
Log.
It's a good one.
All right. So
back to the email that we got three words into.
Back to the email. In any case, I sat down in the one clean stall to enjoy my post-exam BM. In parentheses, no cowboy hats. And upon finishing, discover that there was no toilet paper in the gigantic double reel dispenser. At this point, I had three options. Brendan is beside himself.
Nah, nah, nah.
The whole weekend.
Wow. I just think about Master P like sitting on the toilet, like a gold encrusted, jewel encrusted toilet, going,
making boob logs, na 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 na. I think that could be done. Someone make that, making boob logs.
Sorry, keep going.
At this point, I had three options: do a weird naked shimmy into the next stall, monster turd territory. Do a naked commando roll under the partition into the aforementioned stall, or find something else to wipe my ass with. As I had no intention of confronting what I could only assume was developing into a sentient being to my left, I searched my stall for something to clean myself with when I happened upon a copy of my school's liberal newspaper. For what it's worth, I am a liberal, but man has to do what a man has to do, so I had no problem wiping my ass with that rag.
I like how he assumes that we'd be mad at him for wiping his ass with a... How dare you?
How dare you wipe your ass, especially with a liberal magazine newspaper?
Wait until I tell Glenn Beck.
Well, he would be happy. What made it even more satisfying was the article I was cleaning myself with was about James Franco screening his film about Hart Crane, The Broken Tower, on campus. Having done so, I can honestly say that there's something satisfying about cleaning excrement off oneself with an article about Franco doing something pretentious. Keep on keeping on, Septic Avenger. I did enjoy that.
I did that. I enjoyed that too. I didn't get to it today, but I read an interview with James Franco, and it was a super long interview, and one of the things that he just drops in there as a non sequitur, he's like, and my parents call me Ted, so they were like, Ted, blah, 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 blah. And it's like,
there's no background to why he's Ted.
They just dick nosed him from birth.
hey, dick nosed Ted, get in here and go to Paris.
Do you think he's got that weird, like, waspy thing going on where they just, like, name you something that's not even your real name? Like, your real name is, like, Joseph or something, but they call you,
like
Tad.
It's a family name, like, with W, or they call you, like,
Tad or something. Yeah.
I don't know. He's from Palo Alto. It doesn't really seem like a. I mean, I'm sure there's wasps. It doesn't really seem like an old money enclave.
Right.
But who knows? I don't know. Stanford's there.
No, it's more of a new money place.
Yeah, Palo Alto's more new money.
That's where I'm from.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you fucking would be.
I would be.
Aren't you from Los Altos? That doesn't count.
It's right next door.
Oh, whatever.
Well, whatever yourself.
Whatever. I will whatever your whatever.
Did you go to... Where's Tom... Oh, Tom Brady's from what? San Mateo or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You went to Sarah.
Well, you want
to
get to this troll, Hunter?
We will Hans the Troll.
Is that how the director talks?
No. He's Norwegian and not German, unfortunately.
You got me so excited.
I know. Yeah. I was going to listen to it, but now...
Troll!
You'll be saying that if you see Troll Hunter.
Troll Hunter.
Troll!
Have you seen Troll Hunter?
I have.
How was it?
I liked it.
It could have been worse.
No, you know what? To be honest, I didn't like it. There's a good movie. There's a good movie in it, but I thought, like, they do this sort of Blair Witch thing, and a lot of people whose opinions I respect really liked it. But I got really tired of watching people chase after other people with the camera. Like, I feel like it sort of tripped over its own conceit as being, you know, a found footage movie. I think there's a lot of really good stuff in it. It's really. Really funny things about it. It's all about the mythologies of the troll, that half of it's made up and half of it's based on actual Norwegian mythology. And
is
it's
that the one with like trolls making sex with each other and they're gigantic?
Yeah, they're gigantic. And this guy, basically these kids are going out to film this guy, this mysterious guy who they find out is the guy that controls the troll population and keeps it from the Norwegian people. So he's just out in the Norwegian countryside
doing his troll
controlling. It's so Scandinavian. It sounds like it's very like rooted in Scandinavian like mythology.
And then
shit.
The best part is the guy's like, "Are any of you guys Christian?" And they're like, "No." It's like, "Because the trolls can smell Christian blood, so you better tell me now if you believe in Jesus." It's like, that is so deliciously Scandinavian.
Yeah.
So, but like I said, there's a ton of amazing stuff about it. I think it's a really smart idea. I just thought I got a little tiresome. It was a little long for me. But I also have the attention span of a gnat because I've been working on the internet for 4 years, and I do like six things at one time. And so I do not have the longest attention.
At a certain point, you're just going to start bringing your laptop with you in every movie.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, can I tweet during this?
It's kind of the point where I'll have like seven tabs open, and I'll be reading an article, and I'll just suddenly flip to another tab for no particular reason. And then I'm like, wait, oh, I guess I'm reading this article now.
Yeah, I do that, five times a day.
You had like 30 tabs open. You're like, why is my browser going slow? Well, you have 30 tabs open.
That's also because I'll open a tab, and then there'll be like six things, and I have to decide which one I want to write a post about.
It's very complex, bro. You have no idea.
And then so I save them for...
You would not understand, layman.
And I save them for later, and sometimes I forget about them. I have to keep them up to remind myself that I wanted to write a post about that. It's just not as time sensitive, whatever.
Did you ever see The Objective?
No, what's that?
By the dude who did The Blair Witch. It's about similar in nature. It's
about a
like,
witch named Blair. Blair Witch. Hey, I'm Blair.
Poop.
I did not.
It's I don't know. It's like a special. Wow, really? Poop? Yeah.
Yes.
That's all it takes?
Yes.
Fuck.
Do need a clone, Brendan.
Yeah, just get a bunch of.
If you got 100 Brendans, you could
do make them fight to see which one's stronger.
They have a hell of a football team, I'll tell you that much.
To me, it's just like once you take.
We just run the ball.
Once you take a.
We'd be able to pass very well.
another 3 yard out.
Yeah.
Once you take a conceit to. Once it's already, we've already accepted it. I hate when they have to keep proving it. Like it bugs me to watch The Office now, where they're still doing the talking to the camera thing. I think Parks and Rec, part of it, like the fact that they're still having to do that, the conceit of there's someone making a documentary about this group of people, like that Modern Family does too. I feel like we've already accepted that as the format, and they keep trying to have to. Make us believe it over again, and I was like, "No, we've already accepted that sort of thing." You know,
I disagree with you because they should have just ended it when the conceit ran out of steam. Like The Office shouldn't have gone on for six seasons. That's why the British one was brilliant, and the American one's a fucking drag.
Well, but I think they could do the same show essentially, but more like 30 Rock, where they aren't talking to the camera.
At that
every
point,
5 seconds.
You're watching it for continuity and the occasional like character based comedy. That's boring shit.
What do you mean you don't like 30 Rock?
I love 30 Rock, but. I mean, like The Office isn't funny.
It's no poop transplant. That's all I know.
The best 30 Rock line ever is Tracy Morgan when he's talking about like all the black versions of white movies he's been in. And he's like listing them all off. And the funniest one was instead of An Affair to Remember, he said, "A Affair to Remember Black."
Yeah.
That's my cousin.
That show is brilliant.
I was just going back to that. I can actually... play that old clip of Tracy Morgan outtakes.
Oh, from Totally Awesome?
Yeah.
And he's like, "You ever break a Puerto Rican off of sweatpants money?"
Yeah, that's exactly.
"No, then you ain't black."
Yeah. "You ain't down with it, homeboy.
You ever chuck a poodle off a 50-story building?"
Yeah.
"You ain't black."
What is it? "You ever throw a poodle off the roof of a project?"
"You ain't black." "You ever get a girl pregnant when you were like
7?
you ain't no way you black." All right. Well, should we interview this?
All
right, well, let's get this. I think we have a new outro. Brendan, take us out of here with our new outro.
What is the new outro?
Poop. Make a poop vlogs.
Oh, God, do it.
Okay, so, frogcast@gmail.com. Until next week.
He can't do it because he's laughing too hard.
Make a poop vlogs.
Na, 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 na.
Hi, it's Andre.
Hi, Andre. This is Vince Mancini from Film Drunk.
Hi, nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too. I just saw the film last week. I thought it was funny because my grandma was from Norway, and when I was about 5, she she brought a troll doll back from Norway and put it in my room, and I was so scared of it that I had to put it in the closet.
That's great.
Yeah, so the film brought back a lot of memories for me. One of the things I liked about it was you sort of had all this troll trivia, like the different races of trolls and which trolls die how. And I was just wondering if that, your idea for that sort of stuff came first, or what was the story of the film first?
I mean, the story, that kind of stuff evolved out of the idea of doing it for real, you know, telling this documentary story about explaining the realities of the trolls. Then you have to come up with all this kind of stuff, because that's what's fun, that's what the audience is going to enjoy, and that's what I would enjoy telling. It's kind of, but it's the film, you know, it does come from those fairy tales and those, I'm sure all the fairy tales that your grandmother also knew very well.
I mean, how much of the sort of, you know, little facts about it came from folklore, and how much of it was just pure invention from you?
I mean, most, I think the majority is invention, but there is like the basic things, like the trolls explode or they turn to stone. Those are the two things from the fairy tales, and also the fact that they can smell Christian blood. But that's just a saying, you know. In the fairy tales, they just say, oh, you know, the troll comes in and or comes through the forest and says, I can smell the blood of the Christian man here. Mm-hmm. And then every, you know, the heroes of the fairy tale, they hide. But I had to make it literal, you know, for a documentary. So that's where the absurdity comes from, you know, to me, is all this, well, invention to make it all real.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you kind of turned the idea of being scared because you had Christian blood. It seems like you kind of like reversed it to where you had people that didn't have Christian blood, and those were the ones contracted to go find the trolls.
Yeah, I had to, you know, swear that they didn't believe in God. You know, it's just fits with the story to have that kind of ideas in the film, to play around with the way the fairy tales are told and the content of the fairy tales.
Yeah,
and you know, sometimes I don't have to explain this stuff to a Norwegian audience. You know, they really take this immediately. But actually, I'm so surprised how easily and that's quite unexpected, how easily the American audience responds to this stuff as well.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, was if you found the reaction to it, you know, much different here than it was in Norway.
Not much different at all, actually. There are just a few scenes here and there that the Norwegian audience reacts more to, for example, but it's very little. That's just like details in the fairy tales. You know, like when he turns to the camera and he says, fairy tales aren't like reality. That's kind of, you know, the subtitling there doesn't quite work, because it's what he actually says is Osterns and Mo doesn't really gel with reality, or I can't remember actually right now, but he says something much more specific that the Norwegian audience reacts more to.
Uh-huh.
So that's like the only, you know, there are only like 2-3 points like that in the whole film that I see a clear difference. The rest is really, it comes across amazingly well.
Yeah, I mean, most of the cast, I gather, they're all like Norwegian comedians. Do you think that adds a level of, do you think that changes how people see the story in Norway, knowing that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it makes people laugh maybe a little bit easier in Norway, but it doesn't actually make any difference, because I do notice that when we have the opening, you know, the opening text about everything being real and we haven't touched the footage, but, you know, the American audience are laughing immediately.
Mm-hmm.
They do understand that this is going to be funny. While in Norway, the first time you see Otto playing Hans coming out of the car, they start laughing upon sight. But in the U.S., people laugh when he lifts up his this crazy-looking act. Mm-hmm. So basically, that's like 30 seconds later. So and then you're basically in the same movie. And the whole first act is, you know, quite serious, because it's all about setting up the reality of the film, setting up everything is real, and then you bombard the audience with the lunacy of the film, if you will.
Yeah.
The trolls and all the absurdity of it.
Mm-hmm. What was the tell me about the idea to make it, you know, sort of a Blair Witch found footage style mockumentary? I mean, how early in the process did you make that decision? And, you know, could you imagine it any other way?
Of course, it's quite possible to imagine it, and then, you know, as a regular movie. But I really wanted to use this form to, which came very quickly after thinking up the idea of the film. It was like the same day, basically, as I thought of the idea. And because I'm very production oriented, I want to, you know, I know how to shoot stuff because I shot so many commercials, for example, and that kind of stuff. So I know that to make a film like this, you need to have some kind of a production system that makes it possible to shoot it fast and cheap and blah, blah, blah. But also, in addition to that, this form is really, you know, it's insisting that everything is real. So the absurdity of the trolls really come out, you know, in the best possible way, doing it as a documentary as opposed to doing it as a nice-looking, beautiful movie. I don't think necessarily that the humor would come across in the same way doing it that way, because you would always get this kind of movie feeling.
I also thought it was interesting. I hadn't seen a lot of movies before where you sort of combined the homemade feeling with, you know, actual special effects. Normally in a movie like this, they might not show the trolls. I thought that was interesting that you use the effects to make them look realistic and that combined with the homemade movie.
I think both for the effect of horror and for the effect of awe and for the effect of humor, all that lends to showing the trolls very clearly. You know, you need to know what's chasing you. You need to know what the fear is. You need to actually see it. You can, if you know, it depends how, you know, you can't quite compare it to like a film like Alien or Jaws, because you had where you don't show the monster for a long, long time, which we don't do. I mean, the first monster only comes in at, you know, 25 minutes into the movie or something. Anyway, it takes a while, but in the end, you actually have to show it, because for this mix of humor and horror and awe, really, it needs to, you know, it needs to feed off of seeing the troll. I wanted to make it a film about trolls, not a troll. So I had to I had to have many of them, basically, to build a mythology, or else it would just become a film about a creature fighting a creature, basically.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
This is your second American feature, right?
Well, I mean, I went to film school in Santa Barbara, and together with a friend, I co-wrote and co-directed basically our exam final film, and which was a feature film. And we spent a couple of years after film school finishing it off and had it released in many countries on DVD, which was great for us at the time. And that kickstarted my commercials career. I went with a showreel based on that and some other footage from some other short films. And so that really got me into a high-end production company in Oslo.
Are you looking to do more films here after this movie, or?
Yeah, I'm hoping to do that. I'm working, you know, on a couple of Hollywood projects now, because I've had some fantastic meetings with you know, big production companies, studios in Hollywood, and they've really fallen for Troll Hunter. So it has opened a lot of doors for me. Absolutely.
Is that anything specific in the works that you can tell us about?
It's quite specific, but I can't talk about it right now. It's kind of right in the middle of a process.
Sure.
I'm working on I'm reworking a script and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Have you had offers for? I've heard people wanted to remake Troll Hunter as an American remake. Has anything happened with that, or are you against that?
Yeah, it's been, you know, lots and lots of Russian companies being interested in acquiring the rights for the remake, and in theory, we should have a deal in place pretty soon.
Okay, so that probably will happen then.
Oh yeah, I think so. I mean, I really believe that.
How do you feel about foreign American remakes of foreign movies in general?
I understand the logic of it, because it's as long as the American audience doesn't really go see films that are, you know, really well done from another culture, another country, it's quite understandable that it's a good idea to remake it for an American audience, so people actually get to experience these stories that some producers find interesting. It's and I'm looking forward to seeing an American version of The Trollhunter.
Yeah. Do you mean? Do you think that is a cultural reaction, or do you think it's just a distributor model that we have here that people don't see movies like this as much?
Well, I guess the problem is being used to reading subtitles, and you know, the Hollywood industry is so huge that it dominates basically the entire world, and so the American audience, I guess, isn't so used to reading subtitles from other countries' movies, or dubbed, which I think is possibly, you know, even less desirable.
Yeah.
So it's just a cultural thing, I think, more than what I think distributors like, you know, Magnolia is picking it up for a national release, so that's wonderful.
It seems like there's been more Scandinavian filmmakers and films that have sort of been popular around the world. Do you think there's anything happening in Scandinavia to sort of cause that, or coincidence?
More focus on letting people make genre movies, making people play around with the films, and actually a lot of films are being made outside the Norwegian governmental support system. So it's some, there is a lot of creativity and need to kind of explore filmmaking in Norway, I think, beyond what we've ourselves grown up with when it comes to Norwegian films. I think it's like an antidote, like a reaction to whatever films we grew up with, because the film industry in Norway didn't really work, in my opinion, didn't really work so well in the, I don't know, the 80s or even a little bit into the 90s. I would say it really started working properly late 90s. Then the Norwegian film industry started opening up and making more interesting commercial films for an audience.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that. What do you find are the differences between making movies in sort of a more governmental supported system than, you know, more just straight market driven one?
Sorry, what was it last? More than what driven?
More than just a straight market driven one.
I mean, that kind of goes a little bit hand in hand, because the government actually supports a specific financing model that is market driven.
Uh-huh.
That they want to support Norwegian projects that appeal to a broad market, so we get a good atmosphere around Norwegian films, basically. So it's considered something desirable by a general audience. So that's how actually The Trollhunter got financed. It got financed partly by a private investor, I mean the distributor in Norway, SF Norway, and partly by the government through this system of market potential-based funding. So it was, the Norwegian government and their analysts came to the conclusion that a film called The Trollhunter was going to be a huge success. So they gave us the money based on that. So I think, I don't know, but I do think that the people, there are quite a few producers now who actually make films completely without governmental money, and that's a good idea, but there are quite a few of them that also flopped.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to make sure that when they use investors' money, purely investors' money, they need to make sure that they have a concept, a movie that actually has a market potential, that they don't lure investors into films that don't really have a real market potential. And I've seen that a few times lately, where I don't know how they managed to get money for some of these films, but there are some great films coming out from outside the system, like, I don't know, Dead Snow or...
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
Is there any conflict between, you know, as far as the government-supported film program, is there ever is there ever a conflict between, you know, having a movie that's going to be commercial that, you know, will portray the film industry in a positive light and one that might not portray the government in such a positive light?
Oh, sorry. The question is whether or not the government likes being portrayed in a bad way.
Yeah, like, are you? Would you be allowed to make, you know, a movie that was commercial, but you know, didn't necessarily make the Norwegian government itself look so great, or something like that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is no, you know, there is no control like that. There is really no control. Governmental control like that.
Uh-huh.
There are every now and then there will be an agitated filmmaker who didn't get money for a film about something that criticizes society or the government or whatever, and he will say, you know, this is the reason. But usually, you can make a film about anything you want in Norway. It's not, you know, it is not like a, you know, a communistic society at all. You know, it's extremely, you know, open.
Yeah, well, I mean, like here, they'll say they're open, but then if you want to use like military hardware or something in your movie, the military has script approval and all that.
Yeah, no, I think actually that all that kind of stuff is more difficult in the U.S. than in Norway.
Yeah,
I think actually that's the case. Yeah,
that's interesting. Well, I don't have too many more questions. I think you said 15 minutes. We're running about 20. But
yeah,
thank you for talking to me.
Here, so. I guess we're at our end. Yeah, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks very much. Good luck. I hope a lot more people see it.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you.
All right, great. Thanks.